Sunday morning. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church and our morning service. All right. Let's open in a word of prayer and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can open your word this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time, Lord, and use this time, Lord, to the glory of your name. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you could open in your Bibles this morning to three passages. We're going to be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22. And in these three passages, we have Jesus calming the storm. And we'll start in Matthew, and we'll read each of these passages, starting in Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke. Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's turn over to Mark chapter 4. And each of these different passages give us slightly more information or different information. Starting in verse 35, Mark chapter 4. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. And starting in verse 22, Luke chapter 8. And now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now, while I was looking at this passage, I put the three of them together so that I could understand what was going on a little bit better. So if you can bear with me, I'm going to give you now the same account, but trying to, I guess, weave these three together the best I could. Now, if you do this, you may come up with some differences, possibly in what order things are said. But generally, the order of events are much similar, you would find. And the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side of the lake. And when they had sent away the multitude, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and they took him even as he was in the ship. And they launched forth, and there were also with him other little ships. But as they sailed, he fell asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Now this is where your order might change. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Master, Master, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. The men marveled and wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So this morning I want to work through this passage, these passages, and first thing that stands out to me, we see that Jesus mentions faith three times. He says, O ye of little faith. And he says, How is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith? And so we will get to talking about faith a little later on, but let's look through the passage about the other truths that are in it. And we see obedience first with the disciples as they follow Jesus into the ship. Jesus said, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. Possibly leaving from Capernaum, they were going to sail the length of Galilee from the north to the south, about 21 kilometres. We see the obedience of the disciples there in following the Lord Jesus and getting in the ship. We know that God delights in obedience. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So we see the obedience of the disciples, and they follow the Lord Jesus and get in the ship. The vessel in which they enter is just a little ship, according to Mark. Possibly one that was used for fishing, no doubt, on the Lake of Galilee. Possibly one that no doubt smelt like fish. Not a large vessel, not fit for a king, but suitable for a king with great humility and for the purpose that Jesus was going to use it. We're not sure exactly on the size of these little ships used on Lake Galilee in the time of Jesus. In 1986, there was one found which is thought to be the largest used on the lake, and it measured 8.27 meters long, 2.3 meters wide, and had a height of 1.3 meters. The ship used obviously had to have enough room to carry disciples, and Jesus was laying down asleep in the hinder part of the ship. So it may have been a ship slightly smaller than this one, but no doubt it was a little ship. We see here that it was carrying the disciples, or at least some of the disciples. Possibly some of the disciples were in the other little ships. At this stage, I believe that Jesus hadn't chosen his 12 apostles, and so there possibly was 70 or 80 others that followed along the lake in other little ships. Whatever the size of the boat used, they find themselves in trouble, in a great storm, in a storm in which they think they are going to perish. With Christ in the boat, the disciples find themselves in a time of trouble. The Bible does not say that everything is going to be pleasant when we're one of Christ's, that it's going to be all peachy. The Bible does not teach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel for those that are one of Christ. Paul certainly testifies of this in his life. And what God said to Paul, he says to us, "My grace is sufficient for thee." When we are where the Lord wants us, we can find ourselves in times of problems, times of trouble. When Christ is with us, we can still go through times of trouble. Just because you're a disciple of Christ, or you follow Christ where he wants you to be, does not mean that it's going to be without trials. It's not going to be smooth sailing, so to speak. The disciples follow Christ in the boat and then find themselves fearing for their lives. On another occasion, Jesus sent the disciples across the lake, and in the midst of the sea they are toiling and rowing because the wind is contrary. But if we're trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior when the storm of life or the storms of life come, we can trust that he is with us. So the disciples, we know that he is not worried about the storm. He's asleep. He's at peace. So he's not worried about the storm or the situation that we find ourselves in. There is nothing that worried Jesus then or now, and we can rest in him and we can trust in him and be with him. So the disciples have obeyed and followed Jesus and are now in the midst of a great storm, and he is still with them. He has not left them alone. He has not left us alone to go through trouble. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He also said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." We can take comfort that God is looking out for us because we are on his side, because we're a child of God. He's looking out for us. Nevertheless, in here we find the disciples fearing for their lives. They fear that they will perish. And here we see they call out to Jesus. And we would call this prayer, or we do call this prayer, when we speak to the Lord, when we talk to the Lord. when we say, Lord, save us, or Lord, help us in our times of need. Such a simple prayer, yet with faith, has such power. How many times a day do we cry out for help, and the Lord is always there to help us without fail? There is no limit to the grace that God blesses us with. His stores are endless. It seems at this stage that the only faith that the disciples have is that Jesus might be able to do something, might be able to help. They cry out, Lord, save us, we perish. Master, Master, we perish. In our Matthew account, Jesus says, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I see Jesus saying, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I'm not worried. Could you not see that I was not worried? Did I not say to you that we had to go to the other side of the lake? I have work over there to do, don't you know? Why did you not have faith? Why do you not believe that we still can get to the other side? So Jesus gets up off the pillow and rebukes the wind and calms the sea. We see here that Jesus exercising his authority that he has over all things. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By his word he created all things. By him all things are sustained. By him all things are held together. It is he that is in control of the elements. And Jesus here demonstrates that he has the power and that he is in control. He tells the molecules where to go. He tells them when to stop, how fast to move. We see Jesus in control here of everything, in control of even the molecules of air. This also is not the first time that God calms a storm. There's similarities here, many similarities, to the story of Jonah. And let's turn there, Jonah chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 11. Then said they, that's the sailors, unto him, that's Jonah, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. So I'm sure you can see the similarities there. The raging sea, those in the ship fearing their lives. Even at the start of the chapter, which we did not read, we see Jonah asleep in the ship. We see the sea going from raging to calm. And then in verse 16, there it says, Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. We see the same response from the disciples in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they feared the Lord exceedingly and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? This fear causes the act of worship for the sailors in Jonah chapter 1 to offer a sacrifice and make vows unto God. And fear is a form of worship. The same word means to reverence. It means to be in awe. And it is reverencing God for who He is. To give Him awe, to be in awe of God. And we see the disciples here in awe of Jesus as He performs this miracle. The storm has come for a purpose, for the purpose of Jesus performing this miracle, that no doubt will increase the faith of His disciples, but also that God would get praise and glory that He deserves. The things that God does in our own lives and others' lives as well should make us be in awe and should cause us to give Him reverence for who He is and what He does. We see the disciples marvel and wonder. They fear exceedingly, saying, "What manner of man is this? What manner indeed? He's no ordinary man, but God in the flesh." We're told in Matthew, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I think about the time we're in now, this coronavirus and the restrictions, and has it come for this very purpose, that people will put their faith in Jesus Christ alone? That those that already have faith, that their faith might be increased. That His name will be lifted up, will be exalted and glorified. Is it for the trying of our faith? Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. During this time of this spread of virus, we've heard of people coming to know Christ as their Saviour recently through this time. I think one thing we need to be sure of is that we must give glory to God. We must give glory to God. He is in control of everything that is happening. He moves the King's heart, our Prime Minister's heart, the President's heart, to do as He pleases, to do His will. One thing we cannot do is that we cannot exalt God enough. We will never give too much praise, too high a praise, that He is not worthy of, but it is always the opposite. It's always the other case, that we do not lift Him up enough. We do not praise Him enough. We do not give Him the glory He deserves. We cannot give Him enough praise. That brings me to a question. What did the disciples expect when they woke Jesus? What did the disciples expect Jesus to do when they woke Him up? I believe they certainly didn't expect Him to rebuke the wind and the waves. Judging by their response, that wasn't what they were expecting Him to do. What did they expect Him to do? Did they expect Him to grab a bucket and start bailing out the water? Possibly it was only a small cup that they had in the boat, one that they would use to drink water out of the freshwater lake. Possibly they would expect Him to grab an oar to help row to shore during this time. Or maybe they expected Him to grab a rope hanging from the sail to help to do something with the sail. Maybe in order to throw something overboard, some unneeded weight. What did they expect Him to do as they woke Him up? He mentions faith 3 times. He says, "O ye of little faith," And he says, how is it that you have no faith? And he says, where is your faith? He says, where is your faith? Possibly to say, if you had more faith, you'd be able to rebuke the wind and calm the seas. He says, where is your faith? Possibly when he says this, does he pick up the bucket in the boat and say, where is your faith? Is it in this? Or picking up the oar, or pointing to the oar and saying, where is your faith? Is your faith in this? Or grabbing hold of the rope from the sail and saying, where is your faith? Is your faith in this? What about you? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is your faith found in an object? It's most likely not found in a bucket or in an oar or in a rope. But certainly there are those in the world that put their faith in objects, in idols. There are those that put their faith in a mass or in the rosary, others in some lucky charm, others in a particular day, some in a building. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is it in science? Is it in something you've done? Is it in something you've said? I hope the answer is no to those. Where is your faith? It should only be found in Christ Jesus. Only in God, not in any object, not in anything you've done, not in anything you've said. I hope you can sing with me, my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that today you're not fearful of dying, of perishing. There's no need to be. There's no need to be scared of dying, no need to be scared of perishing. Christ died for you, yea, rather is risen for you. He came into the world that he created, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Put your trust and faith in Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we read through the Gospels, we see Jesus was long-suffering with many people, long-suffering with his disciples, teaching them truth, bringing storms for the purpose of showing them their weakness, bringing storms for the purpose of increasing their faith. And praise God, he's long-suffering with us, teaching us, increasing our faith. He may be long-suffering with you today, waiting for you to trust him as your Savior. Make this the day you trust in him. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus says, O ye of little faith. He says, how is it that you have no faith? I see two groups in this passage, those that have faith and those that don't have faith. Whether it be little faith or much faith, I think there's two groups. Whether you have faith or you have no faith, Jesus is available for you. For those that have faith in Jesus, he will guide you through the storm. For those that at the moment have no faith in Jesus, he can save you from perishing. Where is your faith today? Where is your faith? I trust that it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and we'll close. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you demonstrate your power and authority, Lord, over everything, Lord. We are thankful, Lord, that you are long-suffering with us, Lord, teaching us, increasing our faith, Lord. We thank you. I do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us this day, Lord, to think upon these things, Lord. Where is our faith? Is it in something we've done, in something we've said? Or, Lord, is it our faith? Is it in you, Lord? Is it trusting in the finished work of Christ? And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Saviour. In his name, amen.